Technorama, episode 438, X Can Solve It Himself.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where does one find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy than Mos Eisley?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Have we referenced the scum and villainy yet, Craig?
I need to check the archives and say I don't think so.
It sounded vaguely familiar, but if we have,
you know what? We've had a good long run on not repeating those. I think we're okay if we do it once.
Every 10 years or so.
Once you get past episode 400, it doesn't matter.
Welcome to Technorama. I'm doing the intro now.
But I make a joke here. This is where I make jokes. Okay, go ahead.
No, when I introduce you.
You make jokes.
We're off script because we're off nights. The show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always, trying to get a word in edgewise, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm being suppressed.
I'm being repressed
by the man.
Also joining us in the binary studio is...
Hey, I'm Michael Armenegay. How you doing?
He's back.
I am back.
It must be getting close to pool party time.
It is close to pool party time, and I am excited. I don't have to do anything except show up.
Show up and drink beer and go home.
This is going to be a new thing for me. I don't know how to I won't know what to do with myself.
All the benefits of owning a pool without owning it.
That's right, and that's a big one.
Next is a boat.
A boat.
In the pool?
To put in the pool.
Don't give me ideas. We have a show to do coming up in this show. We've got good news and bad news from Back to the Future, the places valuable old things show up, and Leave It to Belgium.
I love that show.
And coming up more.
Hi, I'm Nuke Chas, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
Now Dave's in our cool club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something twisted and backwards when you hear coworkers podcasting and podcasters co-working. Hey,
you're crossing the stream. Yeah, stop that.
You're that guy from that show on our conference call. Hey,
it's not enough that Chuck is collecting material items from podcasters, but he also collects them at work.
Everyone has to have a hobby.
You should see what he has in the basement.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
Right, yeah. Something like that.
It's all about the duct tape.
We have some feedback.
Really?
Yeah. Sing it.
Oh, we get letters.
And letters.
Don't forget your letters
every day.
Mail,
I love the latency.
I love those letters.
I quit singing now.
Craig is drunk singing.
Hey, baby.
We asked you, the lovely listener, what tech term needs to die?
Oh, wow.
We got back some interesting results. John R. Miller writes in, Email.
Email.
Well,
I'm with him.
I agree the technology in whole needs to die.
Truly.
But the term, what would you replace email with as a term?
I don't know.
Just mail.
It's just become so ubiquitous that it is what it is.
It's interesting. Wow, it's so bizarre. We were, Lori and I were just having this conversation today that the post office is now doing Sunday delivery for Amazon because they're hurting so much for money.
Yeah.
Because nobody sends mail. When was the last time you put a stamp on an envelope and actually sent it somewhere?
Postcards once in a while.
I did one this year so far. I've sent one thing, and the only reason is because they didn't have online payment yet.
You know what? I was at my dad's house and we were standing around the garage and I saw a mail truck kind of go by and it took me a second. I went, that was just a mail truck. I went, wait a minute. Today's Sunday. And then she gets out and runs up and gives my dad a package and runs off. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's Amazon. Amazon is paying for Sunday delivery.
Yeah, you order something on Saturday. It shows up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it just blows your mind.
It is
amazing.
I was
like, what universe did I step into?
Craig and I met Angela, our mail carrier, up on the top of Lookout Mountain.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't have anything else to do.
Right.
You know, deliver junk mail. I mean, my day is basically go out, pull out whatever's in the mailbox, and throw it directly into the recycle.
And usually, one out of three is for you.
Yeah, exactly. Current resident.
Oh, you know, look,
Michael, by the way, we were up there with on the mountain and we met the mail lady and we were talking. She goes, oh, is that you over there? And she pointed towards his house. And sure enough, that was it.
Yeah,
then she said, I just saw so-and-so come home.
She's monitoring the neighbors. She's like Gladys Kravitz.
Yeah, they work for the NSA now. You know, that area, that whole thing has merged together now.
Yeah,
don't frighten me more.
Angela, what payroll are you on? Really?
Edward Chase writes in the cloud.
The cloud.
The cloud. That is one of those nebulous terms like podcast that just shouldn't have been born the way it was, but it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so ingrained now, though. Everybody talks about cloud this, cloud that.
Yeah, and nobody knows what it really means.
Exactly.
It's like somebody else's data center. Deal with it.
Exactly.
Well, what would happen to our job or our work, though?
We would call it something else.
What, podcasting?
No, like platform as a service kind of thing.
Oh, platform service.
What would you call it? Cloud, Google Docs.
We're calling us the cloud company, you know.
The like enterprise.
Just put it under the blanket IT.
Right.
You know, IT really does. Well.
SEDC, someone else's data center.
I like that.
Mark Shepard has two. He says Phablet, which.
Oh, that. Yeah, that. Definitely needs.
That's about
to die.
As attractive as blog was when it was under
blog. Yeah, blog needs to die. I'm tired of bloggers. You see these ancient people on Fox that haven't evolved past the 90s technology, still referring to bloggers. It's like, who the hell is a blogger?
Well, I'm not opposed to referring to a blog, but calling people bloggers sounds a little stupid.
Yeah.
His other term he says is cyber. Yeah, that I admit that one. I don't hear that one as much as it used to.
Not so much. 10,
15, except for on Fox News.
Yeah, exactly. No, blogs
in cyberspace.
Blogs have all evolved to social media. That's the blanket now. Is basically it's social media. Even if it is an old blog, it's now social media because hey, that's my social media site.
Yeah,
because it's usually tied.
Well, you still need something to kind of differentiate it because if you say, okay, social media, well, you could lump in podcasts, blogs, and everything else. But then you go, well, I went to that social media site.
Sure, why not?
So blogs I get, bloggers.
Yeah.
You have one that needs to die, Mike?
Oh, you know, I do, but I can't think of one right at the
heart. Netcast.
Yeah. Anything that has web in it.
WebMD.
Yeah, basically all the web stuff needs to die.
Web 2.0.
Right.
Well, that's been way gone. We're way into the 4.5. By
no, we've gone to letters. It's now WebXP.
Yeah.
WebXP.
.com, because web? There's so much else out there besides
.com. Oh, that started to take on a bad connotation after a while. After the .com burst, anybody, you know, it wasn't like What was the there was an epitome one, the pet one.
Oh, it was pets.com.
Yeah, and even our organization dropped it a couple of years ago from the whole moniker.
Yeah, the whole .com needs to go away because it just limits everybody to thinking everything has to have a .com, and there's so many other, you know, you got .net, .info, .org,
.wtf,
.everything now.
.XXX.
So, yeah. Well,
lots of people tried to include it as part of their logo or, you know, so-and-so became so-and-so.com. Mm-hmm. Even Yahoo's dropped it. You know, they were kind of on the forefront of the internet.
Yep.
Well, if you search now, you don't even need the .com on the end of it. You can basically just put in, because it'll give you the right extension, or at least give you options of extensions. Of course, you'll find 5 porn sites and the one site that you actually want when you do that. But
Whitehouse.gov, okay? .gov. Let's get that straight. History time! On this day in history for June 17, 2015, this is the 168th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are exactly 197 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1579 that Sir Francis Drake claims the land he calls Nova Albion for England, currently known as California.
And 419 years ago today, the Dutch explorer William Barnett discovers the Arctic
Archipelago.
Archipelago.
See, I had it right in my mind. Next one.
In Spartanburg.
Oh, yeah. Thanks
for
that.
He did this on purpose, Michael.
Thanks for that. Today in 1631, Mumtaz
Mahal. You'll get it in a second.
There we go. Died during childbirth. Her husband, Mughal Emperor
Shah Jahan first.
Sure. Will spend the next 17 years building her mausoleum and the Taj Mahal.
There we go. How it kind of ties together.
The Taj Mahal.
Yeah,
God.
The Taj Mahal.
I should have read the end of it first and it would have made sense.
Read it backwards.
Also today in 1673, French explorers Jacques Marquette and Louis Joliet reach the Mississippi River and become the first Europeans to make a detailed account of its course.
Wow.
And it was 242 years ago today. I can't even get it past the word today. At Calcutta, Colombia is discovered by Juanana Rangel. Why'd you do this to
us? Spanish, dude. Juana Rangel de Cuellar.
Paco Bell.
Yikes.
Okay, you shouldn't have a problem with this
okay,
one.
Okay, there you go. It was 242 years ago today that...
Craig just read that one.
Oh, sorry, on that one. 176 years ago today, the Kingdom of Hawaii,
Kamehameha
III, issued the illicit...
Edict.
The illicit.
Illicit. Wow.
The Edict of Totalitarian...
Toleration,
which gives Roman Catholics the freedom to worship in the Hawaiian Islands. The Hawaiian Catholic Church and the
Cathedral
of Our Lady of Peace are established as a result.
No idea why I threw that one in there.
I don't either.
But it was fun, wasn't it?
Okay.
June 17th, 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York Harbor. Sorry,
see, he
guys.
Gets all the easy ones.
I know.
I don't know who's showing up.
Next time I'm editing the show notes before showtime.
There you go.
All right, the last public guillotine in France, Eugene Weidman?
Close enough.
A convicted murderer is guillotined in Versailles.
Versailles.
Man, stop. Dang it. In Versailles, outside the St. Pierre prison 76 years ago today.
This is the best part of the show, in my opinion. Yes.
Also Shut today up, in 1940, 3 Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania fell under the occupation of the Soviet Union.
I think those are atomic elements, too.
Yes, they are.
Lithium, beryllium, and Latvia.
They make dark matter.
It was 71 years ago today that Iceland declares independence from Denmark and becomes a republic.
And 52 years ago today, the United States Supreme Court rules 8-1 in a big... Man, why can't I not read anything today? A Binghton School District versus Shemp, Mo and Larry, unavailable for comment. against requiring the reciting of Bible verses and the Lord's Prayer in public schools.
How far we've come in 52 years. They required Bible verses in school.
Wow. Also today in 1967, the People's Republic of China announced a successful test of its thermonuclear weapon.
All right, and we are much happier that the Cylons have theirs now. STS-51G space shuttle Discovery launches carrying Sultan bin Salman bin Abu... See, you guys don't get all the good ones.
Thank you for taking that one.
Abdulaziz Al-Saud, the first Arab and first Muslim in space, is a payload specialist on this date in 1985.
Oh, and it was 21 years ago today that following a televised low-speed highway chase, O.J. Simpson is arrested for the murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman.
21 years ago. Holy cow.
It seems like I was just watching that yesterday.
Oh, the band had to stop for that applause.
You know what? Forget the birthdays. Just go move along.
Oh, come on. I can do the birthdays. Here, where were we in the music? Somewhere around here.
Okay.
There we go.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to French astronomer and cartographer César François Cassini de Turie. How's that for a slap in the face?
Wow.
Born on this date in 1714, of course, our listener François will probably laugh at me anyway.
And also born on this date in 1800, the third Earl of Rosse and Anglo-Irish astronomer William Parsons.
There you go. An inventor who receives far less credit than his due, Ruth Graves Wakefield would have been 112 today. She is credited with creating the chocolate chip cookie.
Best birthday ever.
Wow.
Here, I got another one. Armenian chess player Tigran Petrosian was born June 17, 1929.
An American engineer and many aircraft innovations, Bert Rutan.
Bert Rutan. Yeah.
I know somebody called Rutan. That's what I was trying to
figure out. How old is he?
He turned 72 today.
Bert is 72. Wow. And our lovely, our lovable Rory from Doctor Who, actor Arthur Darvell, is 33.
Yay! That's the way it was on this day in history for June 15th, 2015. Oh, June 17th. Pardon me. Typo in the date. Editor, can you fix that on the fly?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Woo! Okay. Band away.
We're going to see more Arthur here soon.
More of Arthur?
Yes. He's in the spinoff. The spinoff show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought your Skype was kind of fritzing out here.
His Skype is buffering, it sounds like.
Do the news.
I think we're going to see him more often.
Sounds more like a Dalek.
Top secret news, everyone!
Well, it's not exactly top secret news, but it is fun news. There's a boy, a 15-year-old boy, has discovered a planet 1,000 light years away.
Oh, yeah, I read about this.
How about that? What did you do when you were 15?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't that.
When I was 15, I was watching a lot of TV, playing with my friends, probably doing a lot of things I shouldn't that'll get me in trouble today. Well, yeah, probably would. Tom Wegg, on the other hand, was busy discovering planets. 2 years ago, Wegg was interning at Keele University in England when he noticed a tiny dip in the light of a star as a planet passed in front of it. He made the discovery while using a program called WASP, the Wide Angle Search for Planets, not the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, that monitors millions of stars for extrasolar planets. This planet, which took 2 years to verify, is about the same size as Jupiter, and it has a shorter orbital period, which made it easier to spot. Oh, it was like planet discovery for beginners.
Yeah, but that's still pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. 15. I haven't found one yet.
He's got one more than me.
I found one.
I want to know what he gets to name it. He says, I'm hugely excited to have found a new planet, Wegg said in a press release, and I'm very impressed. I'm not even going to do a teenager British accent here. Very impressed with that we can find them so far away. Bravo. Way to make the rest of us feel like a waste of space. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Good for him. And I wish I had kids that discovered planets. I hope my kids
white
don't hear that.
Anglo-Saxon Protestant region.
I think Skype just cut down your bit rate there, buddy.
Yeah.
You're sounding like the 2006s again.
Is it that bad?
It's pretty bad, yeah.
It was great on the interview last week.
I know. I'll dial back in. Y'all just keep going.
All right.
We'll
answer if we can.
Hey, that Craig guy. What happened to him? Wasn't he part of this show?
Used to be. Oh, look, someone's calling.
Hey, imagine
Should we
that.
Answer it?
I don't know. He looks pretty shady to me.
Does this thing time out?
What's so funny?
We were deciding whether or not to answer it.
If Skype had a timeout or not.
Does it sound better now?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Would you like the next story about what the Belgians have invented?
What did the Belgians invent besides waffles?
and white wheat beer.
Yeah.
And chocolate.
So to save ourselves from ourselves... The Belgians have actually made a texting walking lane on a sidewalk.
No.
So next time you're staring, down at your phone, you can rest assured you're in a safe area. You're not going to run into a light pole.
Wow.
You know what I really want to do? You know those the people who draw on the sidewalks with the perspective like you're falling into a canyon?
Yeah.
Draw one of those, but it's only like 3 feet long and it looks like you're walking up to a light pole or legs or a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, I'll read
the texting lane.
I'm not sure we need social engineering for people who just really need to.
Well, they should have one of these for cars.
Right.
Hey, it will never work. Do you know why it'll never work?
Why?
The evidence is right in front of you. The woman that's texting is outside
not in the lane.
That requires actual perception of outside of your cell phone that you're looking at.
You must be thinking, I'm in the lane, and she's on the outside of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is way too close to Idiocracy for me. We need to move on.
All right. Next story.
Wait, whoa. No. Don't move on. One thing I've thought about is, you know, everybody's doing this kind of stuff where they're staring at their phones. They're not paying attention to the world around them for simple things like this, that you need a text walking lane. When do you think that there will ever be a point where we'll have a social backlash against people using mobile devices?
Oh, that's happening already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to happen. I mean, do you think it'll be wide enough where...
Well, yeah. You know, look at the downfall of Google Glass. I mean, the rebuff on that was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, well, a lot of that was because people were scared they were being recorded.
That's still a tech backlash.
Donna does it to me all the time. When we go out to eat, first one who picks up their cell phone is paying the bill.
Yeah.
And I always lose.
And that's it. I mean, cell phones are banned in Donna, workplaces, same, most places.
It's the same bank account.
Not always.
All right. Well, still. I thought about that. I wondered if there would be like an even bigger backlash, you know, like it would be a scourge to pull your phone out at all.
It depends on the context. I would not do it in, you know, say a conference room at work.
Oh, it'd have to be like an emergency for me to pick it up.
Well,
like,
exactly. Yeah. But there are people who do because they feel that vibration go off, even a phantom vibration. They'll pull out their pocket.
Well, I think this is where wearables will play a big role, where I look at my watch. Well, you're already starting to do it because you got to have a watch.
Yeah, you look at your watch, and my mind goes, has he got to get out of here? Are you in a hurry to go somewhere, Craig? Losing interest in what I'm saying?
Well, see, that's part of it, but it's not as bad as you pulling your phone out
Absolutely.
And focusing on that for a little bit. So you can just go, okay, you know.
Right.
You do that nonchalant.
Oh, man, my watch didn't wake up. Let me do it again.
All right. So
most of you have heard this last week that we lost Christopher Lee.
Yes.
Fine actor. And there's been a meme floating around the internet that I thought we should at least share in case you didn't see it 150 times like I did. Thank you to many of our listeners who sent this in. It's got a nice picture of the thoughtful Christopher Lee, almost in a Steve Jobs pose there for a sec with the steepled fingers and things. It says, Sir Christopher Lee, he was Dracula. He was a Bond villain. He was Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes. He was Death. He was Lucifer. He was Count Dooku. He was Saruman. He was Lord Summerisle. He recorded a heavy metal concept album about Charlemagne.
Yes.
Yes.
We all love that. Many songs, like one every year for that. He hunted Nazis during World War II. He was part of a secret agent unit called the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. When told by Peter Jackson to imagine how a man being stabbed in the back sounds, he told him he didn't have to imagine it.
Oh, my gosh.
He's fluent in... this is starting to sound like the most interesting man in the world, for real. He's fluent in English, Italian, French, German, and Spanish, moderately proficient in Swedish, Russian, and Greek, and conversational in Mandarin Chinese. Now let's see Chuck Norris top that.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, he was an amazing dude.
I'm a huge fan of Sherlock, and I did not realize... I think it's like I knew that he played Sherlock, but I didn't realize he played Mycroft.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that version. Mm. He's also, I'm told, he was also the only cast member of Lord of the Rings who met Tolkien.
Really?
Kind of in a weird bar crossover, just happenstance thing. Not a bar fight.
At a bar called the Prancing Pony. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And there were these really short people that were all over the place.
Underhill.
Yeah, Underhill.
By the way, everybody was shorter than Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
That and he was told by was it Tolkien that said when Tolkien said I'm going to make a Lord of the Rings movie you can be Gandalf. Well, that didn't quite work out.
Wow,
I think he made a better Saruman.
Oh yeah, I do too.
You know, he had that deeper, darker mm-hmm. tone to him.
Yep,
more serious. He had a more serious tone, like. He had something going on, just like you just said.
Well, Christopher was awesome at a lot of things, but being fluffy definitely wasn't. And Gandalf needed to be kind of sweet and fluffy to the hobbits and so forth.
Ian McKellen oozed the admiration of the hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's I'm not sure Christopher could have pulled that off.
Could you have swapped those two characters, two actors?
Ooh, yeah, that would have made it really interesting.
What do you mean swap them?
Change
roles. Could you have made Ian McKellen Saruman and Christopher Lee?
No, I think the casting was perfect on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
I'm trying to imagine it the other way around, though. That's an intriguing thought.
It's not even hard to imagine somebody else in those roles, much less just swapping those two.
Yeah, that's true. Magneto?
Whoa.
And Dooku.
Mm. Whoa.
Okay.
Now, Magneto could have been interesting.
As Christopher Lee as Magneto? Oh.
That could have been dark. Really amazing.
Ah.
Yes, I agree with you there. Yes, very much so.
Kind of accidentally stepped over that line. That neat. Mm. Yeah. Listener birthday calendar. We have a bazillion of them. This is again making me feel like Dave Schlesinger with the reading of the patrons now. June 17th, Digital Dan Hook from The Hook Show. The 18th is two of them. Luke Platypus 72 from the UK and Zion Fox from Appleton. Happy birthday, Brian. 19th is Stephen from Wichita, Kansas. The 20th is Heather Welliver, who is co-host on PC Herring's Cybrosis mm-hmm. with me. Thank you very much. I understand he's got another book in the works.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I got to go update my bio page. It says I work at my last company. It was over 5 years ago that we did Cybrosis.
Yeah, I see Heather on Facebook all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Her little boy is getting big.
Mm.
21st is Askey Adam from The Hook Show. I wonder if Digital Dan and Askey Adam made an event of the 21st. You got to imagine they did. 22nd, a plethora of them that I stole from Facebook and other places. Lance Heath, Jack Stevens, Chris Martinez, and J.R. Murdoch. Happy birthday to all of you fine people around the world. If it's your birthday, happy birthday to you too, even if it's not on the birthday calendar. But if you would like it to be on the birthday calendar, go to truckchat.com/wiki, add it, and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. In the meantime... In the meantime, I'm going to click the button twice.
There you go.
Yay.
It's not a Mac.
We will be. Thank God it's not a Zoom H2 either. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories and more stuff.
There's people else, but... And plane, when it's by wing planes. Span the hold on. Superman and finals and all is in the area. It's supposed to incorporate everything. Maybe I need to go over there and head that out. Check that out. What I'm getting at, I guess, is express milk through nose. 1790 is greater than 3 divided by 6, and it's the same number of.
Here he goes again.
In the. Possibly earlier, or possibly day earlier. A day earlier.
Technorama, It'll leave you speechless.
Oh, well.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
I swear, Craig, I picked that one at random. I was not making
thanks. I thought you were my friend.
I'm just not sure why that music was by Mitch.
Oh, that was I can't remember the Paula Panesian. It's grandiose. It's I picked it because it used to be the theme for the original Flash Gordon with Buster Crabbe.
Oh.
And I was thinking, he's a future thinking guy. And
gotcha. Okay. You
know, Flash Gordon kind of thing. So they kind of went together.
Okay.
That's my thinking.
I'll buy that.
And there's a little bit of Ren and Stimpy thrown into
it. You're right.
They were great for clips like that.
Yes.
All right. I see headlines like this and I think, Technorama, of course. Would you like to read about the naked tourist blamed for an earthquake in Malaysia?
Oh, man, this story. Yeah, apparently the gods don't want to see your junk. Four people were arrested and released after stripping naked and posing for pictures on Mount Kinabalu in Malaysia. Dutchman Dylan Thomas Snell. Canadians Lindsay and Danielle, them damn Canadians. See, they're taking over the world and going to destroy us all. UK citizen named Eleanor Hawkins were on the mountain on May 30th to watch the sunset and dared each other to take their clothes off, according to the BBC. Their crime committed an obscene act in public, dun dun dun, while also angering some local deities in the process. The mountain is considered a sacred place, so many people, including some government officials, think their little strip show was what ultimately caused the massive earthquakes in the region 6 days later, because it takes 6 days for them to think about it and get pissed off enough to shake the earth.
It's a committee. You
know what? What?
It had to be peer reviewed to make sure that it was okay to shake the mountain.
Should this go to the Supreme Court?
Oh,
I'm not mocking a religion here, but this story is just...
It is insane.
Exactly.
There's a joke in there about a crack. I don't know.
And a couple of boobs.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think they all got, or most of them got sentenced to like 3 days and a fine. And that was
It was 3 days in jail sentence and were basically a fine. And they were expected to be deported back to their home countries soon, where they can get as naked as they want.
Yay.
Wow, what a story.
From what I read, they were actually with a tour group, and they had mentioned breaking off and doing this, and the guide said no, that's not a good idea. Well, they did it anyway. Of course, I think the guide turned them in. That's how they got busted.
He's probably the one taking pictures.
Probably.
I was sitting there going, well, we're actually, I've searched all over the line. I don't know where. I can't find the picture of them. Not that I was looking for the picture
of naked people on the mountain.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do this on it'd be too cold on Haleakala.
Mm. Yeah.
Come on, everybody. It's not even sunrise yet.
Oh, look. Chuck's not anatomically correct.
He's a Picasso.
Riding the bike down a little funny. Have a story of, oh yes, some of these expensive things turn up in the strangest places. This is a story about an Apple One worth six figures that showed up in a recycle center.
I read about this.
A woman has tossed out a bunch of old computers for recycling in San Francisco, including a rare Apple One worth a six-figure sum. The recycling center is now appealing for the woman to get in touch so that it can pay her $100,000. Staff at Clean Bay Area have no record of the woman's name or contact details, but say she would be recognized if she returned to make the claim.
Wow, that's actually really good of them.
Yeah, because they could have just turned and sold it.
Yeah, somebody could have just snagged that out of the freaking recycle dump going, you mind if I take this piece of junk? It looks kind of cool. I'd like to hang it on my wall. Yeah. And then basically go home and quit their job next day.
They did say that they've had a history of this before where they've had something of value and they sold it. And it is their policy to split it with whomever dropped it off.
Oh, is that what the woman thought to be in her 60s visited the center in Milpitas a month ago. She dropped off a couple of boxes of e-waste, unquote, of items left in a garage by her recently deceased husband. What did her husband do? I want to know.
Yeah, who
it
was
It wasn't
that?
Until staff opened up one of the packages and they discovered an Apple I computer. It's one of about 200 units made in 1976 by Wozniak and Jobs out of their garage. Only about 50 are known to have survived. That's actually a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 200? Mm-hmm. Wow. These things must be very sought after.
Yeah, that is a high ratio there.
And just a handful in working order. It's not known if the unit dropped off by the woman who was working. While Clean Bay area is primarily a service for businesses looking to clean their premises of obsolete material, it has the policy of selling potentially valuable items and splitting the proceeds with the person who brought it in for recycling. As it did so with the Apple One, getting $200,000 from a private collector.
Wow.
The record sale price for any Apple One was $900,000 at a public auction last year.
Cow.
Though most publicized sales in recent have been in the low six figures.
Hmm.
Huh.
Wow.
Imagine finding that baby.
It's still cheaper than the Mac Pro.
Right. This is one of those classic stories where my mom threw out my comic book collection because she didn't think I wanted it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
And there's like $100 comic books in there or something, you know?
Grandpa's turning over in his grave.
No. You should have listened to me when I was explaining what an Apple One was.
The fact that it was framed?
Yeah.
Maybe we could go into business making counterfeit Apple Ones.
Ooh.
I'll start practicing my Woz signature. I'll start practicing my Woz signature.
Your Woz signature?
Yeah.
That would be worth even more.
No kidding. If it was a signed board, holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Other things that have turned up. Craig, would you like this story?
In a similar story.
In a similar story about valuable things showing up in crazy places.
That's right. A copy of the original shooting script for Star Wars Episode 4 was found sitting on a shelf in the University of New Brunswick's library in St. John. And it may settle whether or not Han shot first. Okay.
Like there's any debate.
What? There is no debate.
I saw the original film 90 times
frame
in the theater.
Frame
by frame. Yes. There's no doubt for us that are old enough to remember watching the original.
And that split second defined Han Solo.
Absolutely.
Because he took the initiative and was saving himself.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. So. Librarian Christian Brown. There is no H in there.
Christian, trust me on this one.
You know what? You just be quiet.
Brown. B-R-O-W-N.
Brown. Yeah, Brown.
Hodor.
I've been sifting through the library's science fiction collection for a digitalization project when he came across a script dated March 15th. 1976.
Ooh,
wow.
A script which Lucasfilm confirms looks like an original version of the original script or early script, not one used in production, but a copy made by fans and sold at conventions. A few of the changes from the script to the film were well known. Luke Starkiller was, of course, Skywalker. The film began as Saga 1 rather than Episode 4. But the big change, of course, is whether Han shot first. So have a seat. Hold your breath. Here we go. I'll tell you one thing right now. Based on the script, I can tell you 100% Han shot first. Here we go.
There you go.
Which just tells us that George Lucas has been changing his mind about these movies for decades.
Absolutely. We all know that.
Yeah.
It's telling not you, that software, George. Let it rest.
Yeah, basically. Stop improving things.
You know, we don't need a version 2.4.6 of like XP.
He did not need to quantify whether Han shot first or not, and he didn't need to explain freaking midichlorians.
No, no kidding.
Just let the force be.
Craig, take your riddle on. Let's move on.
Okay, I'm all right. One, two.
All right, real quick in the media corner. Craig, are you watching Sense8 on Netflix?
Not yet. I'm about to. It's on my list.
Okay, I am about half done. Mike, you've watched the whole thing?
I'm through.
Donna mainlined it. I came back from San Diego. She goes, I watched Sense8. I was up till 5 a.m.
We blew through it. We couldn't stop either. And it's so slow starting out. I mean, the first five episodes, it's like you're not sure what the hell is going on.
But you know something weird is going on.
And something cool is going on. It's Straczynski. I mean, J. Michael Straczynski is known for this. This is his thing.
Wheelhouse?
Oh, I thought this was the Wachowskis.
Well, it was.
They directed it, didn't
they? Yeah, they directed it.
Oh, they directed it.
Yeah, but it's Straczynski. And Straczynski loves character development and world building before he gets anywhere. That's why the first season of Babylon 5 sucked. Sorry.
I'm still cranking through it. It's not holding up well.
So, but once you get past the initial groundwork, it makes sense as to why he took so long to get these characters built up. Because if he'd have dove into what's about to come right at the beginning, he'd have lost everyone. It's like, why the hell do I care about these characters enough to even follow this storyline?
Right.
But it's pretty impressive.
And the conflicts and connections they have just seem to come at the most inappropriate times. He's brilliant at that.
And it's got horrible reviews, horrible, horrible reviews out there. But you have to think about why there's so many horrible reviews. It's because these reviewers get the first three episodes. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They get a starter.
And if you tried to base this series on the first three episodes, it would suck for you, too. I don't care who you are. It's not until four or five before it really kicks into gear.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Well, actually, I haven't started watching it because I've been binge watching Parks and Recreation.
Oh, I'm going back through Fringe. We're into the middle of season two again. And wow, that's still just a brilliant
I finally
show.
Finished Breaking Bad.
Mm.
Loved it.
And
great writing. Good, wasn't it? The writing and the acting was awesome. I think I'm officially finished with season one of Babylon 5.
There you go.
Now on to the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Season two is where it actually starts getting somewhere.
Hey, by the way, Better Call Saul, if you like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul is good in a little different way.
Was
but
there a spinoff?
Stylistic is, yes. About Saul Goodman.
Yeah. I saw a dude today that looked like him. Same comb over and everything.
Hey, so can I get your card?
Now, if we're talking Netflix stuff, Netflix does have a new Netflix series that's out, and Orange is the New Black's new season has started. Yes,
Donna's been binge watching that too.
But there's this new one that's out, and the name of it has totally escaped me right now. But they're putting it out weekly. They did not dump the whole thing out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they're doing it episodic.
I think that makes sense.
It makes sense. Unfortunately, the show sucks.
Oh no!
It's actually the first thing I can say honestly on that Netflix has put out that has disappointed me to the core. I've only made it through 3.5 episodes. I shut it off in the middle of the third episode. I couldn't take it anymore. Yeah, I mean, this is basically this is the Dome meets WB. And any of the WB teenage shows that are on the WB, it's horrible. I can't watch it. We went back
and tried watching The Wire, and I started getting into the. We almost finished the first episode. And I said, I just don't need another cop show, especially when that's I hear it's a great show, but I just don't need another cop show right now.
Right, right.
There's a lot of good stuff on Netflix right now, though.
Yeah, I was really shocked. It's Netflix has been just 100% on all
House
the stuff.
House of Cards, Daredevil.
Oh man, amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah. And then they put this crap out, and I'm not sure if maybe I'm just too old for the demographic. Maybe it's not me. That's very possible. It might not be my thing. Okay, I'll buy that. But holy cow, I can't as well groomed in sci-fi fantasy as kids are today with the Avengers and all the Marvel stuff that's out there and everything else that has the good solid science in it, to go to this is just, it's really below them.
And we're getting another season of Arrested Development.
No, Donald, happy to hear that.
Did y'all get into that?
No.
I got into the first season and then I stopped after that.
Oh, man, that's where it got really good, man. Oh,
of course.
Consider revisiting it sometime.
I might.
Yeah.
Now, Craig, you had a note in here about Jurassic World also. Did you see that this past weekend?
Yes, I took my son to go see it.
$580 million box office opening?
Yes, my $20 is in there somewhere.
So it's all your fault. You're the one that pushed him over the edge.
Yeah.
Quick synopsis. What did you think?
I enjoyed it, and I do agree with a lot of the reviews out there where the story was probably a little bit thin. It needed something to kind of punch it up, but it was a fun popcorn flick. Watching the dinosaurs fight, seeing Chris Pratt run around with velociraptors and stuff, it was great. I would totally recommend it. Don't go in there expecting another Jurassic Park where, you know, they're developing the dinosaur, you know, from mosquitoes and amber.
Did they spare no expense?
Oh yeah, I would agree. No, the park looked great. It looked real. You know, it looked like a, you know, like it could have been a theme park. And I don't want to spoil anything, of course, but yes, the dinosaur on dinosaur action was awesome.
Excellent.
And you know what? My son had the same grin on his face watching the dinosaurs fight, like we saw in Pacific Rim. I looked over at him. He's like shaking his fist in there. He's like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like, wow, I've never seen him react to a movie like that.
Wow. Pacific Rim. I want that to come back to theater because I want to watch that on the big screen on IMAX again.
Yeah. Where's our follow up to that movie?
It's coming. It's coming.
Is it in production or something?
Yeah. Avatar is supposed to be on the way too. We're supposed to get all the next three of those. He's actually going to do four simultaneously. Avatar, I was not super happy with, but I've really warmed up to that movie. I've really warmed up to that movie, especially if you get the extended version. You have to watch the extended version that has the extra 900 minutes included with it because it fills in a lot of the gaps. Lot of the stuff that they kind of glossed over because they were trying to cut for time for the theaters is back in there. And with that stuff back in there, it really does make that show pretty awesome. I mean, it still Dances with Wolves in space.
Sure.
But I like Dances with Wolves and I like space. Yeah. So I'm perfectly happy with it. And the world is freaking beautiful. I mean, the only thing I hate is that she didn't need to freaking die. Damn it. They need to go back and re-edit and put Grace back in the film. Damn it. Do that. And that show's perfect.
Since we're on the movies, Craig, did you see Jupiter Ascending yet?
No.
Good movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You liked it?
I caught it on the plane on the way back from the UK a couple weeks ago. And I enjoyed it. It wasn't, you know, oh my gosh, got to go buy this now movie. But it was entertaining. It was, I thought the underlying story when they finally made the reveal was like, you kind of, if you're smart, you catch it about 3 minutes before they say it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you confirm my suspicion. But, It was. What did you call it? Cinderella in space.
It is Cinderella in space. That's exactly what it is. Is Cinderella in space?
Yeah, well, and then there's some sci-fi behind it too to make it a little more interesting.
Well, based on the reviews, I kind of put it in the when it comes on Netflix pile.
And you'll be happy with it on the Netflix pile.
Okay, all right.
Trust me on that one.
I'm gonna wait for Apple to drop the price on it because they'll do that. They always do that a few weeks afterwards. They'll drop it down to, you know, right now it's still $20. I don't want to pay that much for it. When it goes to 14 or 10, I'll go ahead and make the jump and buy it because it does look pretty cool. I mean, it's one of those movies I was excited to see when it was in production, but they kept moving the release date out and they kept going back in and re-editing it, which is always the kiss of death and a bad, bad sign.
I never heard anything about it. And then I saw it come up on the movie select list on the airplane.
We were talking about it back on Slice. That's how long ago.
A couple of years
It was one of our episodes. We were still talking about that show. That's how long it's taken
for this
to show up.
Oh, it just came out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I did just see the planets came in line for myself. I finally saw Interstellar.
Oh, love that movie.
What'd you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
How about that audio mixing?
Oh man, yeah, the audio, especially at the end, I was like, this is awesome. Yeah, the audio,
where did you watch it?
At home.
Probably. At home. I did a
They fixed it all. They fixed it. All the problems
sucked in the theaters.
All the problems that we had with it in the theater, that's all gone. When you buy it on Netflix,
I want to watch it again. Then
buy it on Apple. You'll be happy. And the rewatchability of that show is excellent. Because so much other stuff when you go through it a few times.
Oh, good. Yeah,
the only thing that was kind of weird about it was the background, the ambient music. It was so depressing. It wasn't much to it. It was just kind of slow and methodical. But other than that, I thought it was great.
All right.
I like the acting. I like Matthew McConaughey. All right. I liked how they pulled it all together at the end. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You know what? Should we just save these last few stories for the next show?
Sure.
Let's go through them real fast.
Yeah. Hey, just call them out real quick.
All right, call them up. Neil deGrasse Tyson says hoverboards are still a ways off.
I've seen a YouTube video. He's lying.
No, he says, it's been a dream of countless nerds since 1989. We want our hoverboards, and we want them now. But if Neil deGrasse Tyson is to be believed, we're going to be waiting for a while. The Huffington Post recently talked with Tyson about his likelihood that we'll see hoverboards like the ones in Back to the Future Part 2 anytime soon. He wasn't optimistic.
Right.
Despite the fact that companies are developing neat and incredibly loud hoverboards, we're still quite a ways from developing the kind that can work on any surface.
That's the problem, is you have to do it. It has to be rotating against metal.
Except for water. Except for water, guys.
That's true.
So we don't have to get any surface. That was my point. But the good news is there's a Kickstarter project for Audis. Because in Back to the Future 2, kids wear their pants inside and out. Right. So Audis are some jeans developed on that premise with the pockets on the outside. The zipper looks backwards. Yeah.
No.
No, you don't think so. They have 39 backers.
The self-lacing shoes is a better idea. and Nike has that now.
Forget hoverboards and self-lacing shoes. I like that's how it starts out in the Kickstarter page. Audis are the only Back to the Future thing you'll need for Marty's return on October 21st this year.
Jeez.
I think we ought to do a special show on that date.
I think I'm going to pass on those.
Truly.
Well, I'm looking for the double necktie myself. I like to dress up at work. How about you?
Yeah, actually, it's right down there on the bottom there, the self-lacing shoes.
Yep. All right, then nerd pickup lines.
Oh, this is hilarious. And it's IO9, so I love all the stuff IO9 does.
Yep. So Jon Snow says, you must be a White Walker because I want you to have my baby. Alrighty.
Oh, that's a new one. I haven't seen
Ms.
that one.
Ms. M, girl, you must be Frodo because I got my eye on you.
Oh.
Yeah. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? Because the velocity your body would reach during a free fall from space is substantial.
I kind of like that one.
You must be the square root of 2 because I feel irrational around you.
Oh,
Craig,
wow.
That sounds like something off of that Salt CD.
Math geek pickup lines. Holy cow.
I like my women like I like my periodic tables with some bad elements.
Okay, I kind of like that.
From Whedon-esque, let me be your angel to your Spike.
I just skipped ahead of the next one.
Nah.
Hi, my name's Microsoft. Can I crash at your place tonight? My name is Slash. Wanna come back to my place and see what the ladies? Why the ladies all call me Root? My name is Slash. Wanna see what they call me?
Okay.
Unix nerd. Okay. I know you think you're just a regular expression, but I think you're a pearl.
Ooh.
Regular expression could have gone anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't take it.
Okay, enough of that.
You got nerd pickup lines? Let us know. Call the listener line 206-222-2428. We won't think it's obscene too much. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Anything else, Craig? Oh, we forgot. I was roaming around the hard drive and I found this one. This is supposed to be our new geek library segment.
Oh, yeah.
found. I was just cruising around the folders that you left behind, Mike.
There you go.
Now it's our Geek Library outro.
Oh, wow. I know where that came from.
Where have you used that?
I know where I came from. Yes, it's comic book day.
I want to believe.
I knew it would trigger some memory.
Oh, jeez. Hey, by the way.
How many thousand shows did I put together one time? Hey,
I know we're getting ready to go head out, but I got to say something before this coming weekend.
Oh, look at the time.
Now, listen, I'm going to Heroes Con again this year.
Yes.
It's this coming weekend. And for Father's Day, I get to meet Stan Lee.
Oh, awesome.
I get his autograph and a photo with him. So,
and see if you can get an ID.
Michael, I thought about this, having the phone recording when I walk up. So, you know, I do a podcast called Technorama, and we says, Technorama, what's that? You know, then there's your ID.
That's good enough for me.
That's good enough right there.
You know, trying to trick him into saying, oh, yeah, I listen to Technorama or however I don't know.
No, Stan's a cool guy. He will be happy to do it for you. Just let him know who you are. He'll do it for you.
Craig who?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right. This is Stan Lee and
Excelsior.
Oh, yes, I'm looking for. Oh, and Friday night.
He's still trying to make that popular. Yeah. To this day, he still wants Excelsior to be
popular.
Hey, Stan,
you could do a cameo on our podcast, too.
Yeah.
It's just like one of your movies.
Yeah. And by the way, and I also get to see Weird Al Yankovic Friday night.
Oh, Weird Al. Awesome.
So my whole weekend's all geeked up. I'm having a good time. I'm ready.
Happy Father's Day to you in advance.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you next time. So that takes us to the end.
Thank I got one more thing.
You don't. Put it in the show notes for next week.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Well, look forward to hearing about your Stan Lee and Weird Al experiences, though.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about it.
Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed being here.
It's nice. See you at the pool party in a couple weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Not before. Dear kind listener, call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Oh, we did put a intro on that voicemail again. Thank you, Jack Jaffe, for reminding us of that. And if you happen to binge listen, you know, it doesn't matter if you leave us comments 6 months from now. We won't remember what we said anyway.
No.
Thank you again to all of our donators to the monthly tip jar. Your donations are greatly appreciated. And until next time, how about a binary high five?
101. Goodbye, little Sebastian.